series right now, Companion Caliber. We're talking about types of relationships, and today we're going to talk about our relationship with God. Okay, that sounds a little cliche for church, but we're going to jump in. And I don't know if you've discovered this. One of the things that's valued in our society is someone who can handle their problems. Okay, like if you've worked in business, maybe you're working at a company right now, you don't want to get paired up with somebody that can't do their job. Any of you guys, maybe you've got some college students or high school students here, you've been part of a group project. And you've been part of the group project and you look around at your group and you go, there is no hope in this world. I legit sat down in a group project, and mind you, this is in the pastoral classes. These are the people going into ministry. Sit down for the group project, and we sit down, the first meeting of a guy, no lie in my heart, and hopefully you believe me as a pastor, but we'll see. No lie in my heart, the guy looks at us the first meeting, and he goes, I just want everyone to know something. If you want to make an A on this project, you will do my work for me, because I will do nothing to help this group. Said, well, at least he's honest, if nothing else. Man, but there's a value if you can handle yourself. As a society, we value independence. We value it so much we celebrate it with fireworks and hamburgers and hot dogs and sending nice emails to the British telling them where they can stick their taxes. We do that once a year. We value independence as a society. But I wonder, sometimes does that bleed into our spirituality? Does it maybe affect our spiritual life, this value, this grade A stuff of independence? I want us to look at something Jesus says in Mark chapter 10. We're going to put it up on the screen. You can open up your Bible app, or follow along with us. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. You should underline or highlight that. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Not just because you're wealthy, not because you're successful, not because you're a man, not because you're a woman, not because you're retired, not because you're a high school student. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. That's a definitive statement by Jesus. He says, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven, all that God has for you, if you can't receive it like a child. And then he took the children's arms and blessed them, placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. You know, we just recently had a child, and as you look at your child at like 3 a.m, and they're hungry, and they're just trying to make it, and you know that your spouse may have left the dirty diaper for you on your shift. And I say that because my wife's watching, so I've got about 3 hours to live. Love you, babes. But man, you look at that child in that moment, and you go, you cannot survive on your own. You know, one of the things I love about Vertical is when you come in, man, you got retired people who are praising God. They've been following Jesus a long time. They're paving a way for the rest of us. They bring such amazing things to our church. Man, I love you. If you're here and you're retired, you've been following the Lord for a while. But man, we also got kids running around. You stick around long enough as we pack up church sometimes, and we got kids running around folding up the tarps. It may not be right, but they're jumping in. They're helping get the air out. But I watch the kids. They run around, and you know what? They're not worried about life. They're not worried about life. They got no cares in the world. They don't know things like bills are coming one day. That nap time's not a punishment, but a glorious thing to be had if it ever happens. Amen. Last night, I got a chance for a nap at 5 p.m., and you better believe I took that. I was gone. But man, these kids, they don't have a care in the world. And there's something powerful when a kid fully trusts in their parents or grandparents. There's such a peace that exists in life. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You know, the kids, they're running around, and man, we've got horrific things happening in the world right now. There's earthquakes happening. There's persecution happening. There's wars happening. There's all these things, but a kid, man, they're just running around eating some goldfish. They're having a good old time. Because there's a dependency that whatever's going on, my parents will take care of me. That I don't have things to worry about. My parents will take care of me. And Jesus is saying, if we can't get there with our Heavenly Father, we'll never understand the kingdom of heaven. As our society, we place such a high value on independence that, man, we view dependence as a negative. Our society views dependence as a negative. Jesus says, in the kingdom of heaven, it's a must. In the kingdom of heaven, it's a must. And then I get it. In our society, man, if you're a 45-year-old dude playing Candy Crush in your parents' basement, and you're like, the last time I had a job was 17, that's not cute. That's not cute. We don't value that in our society. We value independence and ability to solve problems, get things done. One of my mottos in life is I want to give my best to God and trust Him with the rest. Give God your best, trust Him with the rest. I can tell you what I don't want, and I don't believe this happens, is God looks down from the throne room of heaven and says, Pastor Phil, my goodness, what a lazy effort today. I will bless you. I don't think that happens from the throne room of heaven. I don't think He looks down at lazy, half-hearted efforts and goes, man, that'll do. That'll do. I don't want that. I want God to know that I love Him, and because I love Him, I'm going to obey Him, and I'm going to give Him my best. But what happens sometimes is life, right? Has anyone ever done anything to you, and now you don't count on other people? Man, because they let me down, I'm not going to count on other people. Maybe you were praying for something, God, I really need you, and He doesn't show up the way you needed. Maybe you got that diagnosis from the doctor, and it was the exact opposite of what you're praying for. Maybe you were busting it at work, and you know you deserve that promotion, and then not only do they not promote you, you're no longer with the company. Man, things like that happen, and we go, God, I'm trying to give my best here, and I'm not getting the same from you. Some of you may be here at church, but that's how you feel, and can we just be honest? Man, at Vertical Church, if we can just be honest and stop pretending we've all got it together all the time, that we don't have a couple questions for God. But man, that can happen. Life happens, and it teaches us you have to count on yourself and nobody else. But the kingdom of heaven can't be received without a dependence on God. There's this conundrum that happens in what this world values and what the kingdom of heaven values. It's almost counter to each other, a dependence. Look what happens here. Psalm 31, it's in the Old Testament. Psalm 31, verse 9. If you're looking for Psalm, the easiest way is kind of try to go to the middle of your Bible, and you're going to be pretty close there. Psalm 31, verse 9 says, have mercy on me, Lord, for I'm in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I'm dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I'm wasting away from within. And one of the reasons I like Psalms is because David doesn't hold back anything. David was not the kind of guy to show up to church and he's like, everything's fine. David's the kind of guy like, no, I'm going to tell you I'm withering away right now. Like tears, they blur my eyes. I love the raw emotion of David. He's just going to tell us how he's feeling. But if you don't know about David, that's okay. Maybe today's your first day ever with church. Maybe you're online in Hiawassee. Maybe it's your first day and you're like, I don't know who David is. Is he sitting next to me? I don't understand. And David was this guy who wrote this back in the Old Testament thousands of years ago. David, you may now recognize him, he was the guy who killed Goliath. You may have heard of that story. That's David. He killed Goliath, this superhuman-looking guy. David was also this guy that was a shepherd. He killed lions and he killed bears. David was a guy that they used to sing songs about him where they said, King Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. You're a BA dude if they're singing, that dude's killed tens of thousands. Like, that's not a guy on the schoolyard I'm looking like I'm going to square up with him. Absolutely not. I'm like, hey, David, you want to be friends? That's how I operate. That's David. And then that same guy is saying, tears, they blur my eyes. I'm withering away. Sin's draining the energy from my body. And I can relate to those kind of things. Like, I've struggled at points in my life with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. Like, I get what David is saying with some of those emotions, that I'm withering away in my soul and body. That's what it felt like. Like, as a former porn addict, like, I get what David's saying, that sin is literally draining things out of me. Like, if you struggled with addiction, like, you get what he's saying there. He's being so open and honest with us that I've done all these amazing things in life. I'm one of the greatest warriors the world's ever seen, but he's coming to this place of emptiness that God I need you. God, I need you. And if we're honest, some of us are scared to go there. If we're honest, in our American DNA, we almost cringe a little bit to get there, of sole reliance on God. It almost goes against our nature. I mean, I can tell you, in all honesty, this has been bubbling my heart for several weeks, because what God's been laying on my heart, one of the things that's as a pastor that you know, in all honesty, a lot of us can't go through because we've never been in this role, is it's a lot. And I don't think you can be a senior pastor if God doesn't grant you the grace to do it. You know, like, I'm not going to make it in this role if God doesn't help me. And the reason being is, like, who do you think's there in some of your hardest moments in life? Like, when your marriage is falling apart, who are you probably going to call? Your pastor. Like, when you get that cancer diagnosis, who are you probably reaching out to? Your pastor. Like, when your kids are falling apart, who do you reach out to? Your pastor. Like, and there's not an ability for me to walk with all of you guys through that if God doesn't give me something. Like, there's not, on my own, in my own flesh, there's nothing I can give over the years to help with that. But if God gives me something, then I have something to offer. But it's got to be this reliance. And when you become a senior pastor and you have exciting things happen, like a building that's opening up in Blairsville, that's exciting. Hiawassee in their own location, that's exciting. And then amazing things have happened in 6 years at a church plant in Blairsville, Georgia, North Georgia. We're seeing amazing things happen. But what happens with all of that is work. I know there's the rumors that pastors work like 2 hours a week. That must be nice. I don't know what it's like. But there comes a point where, and some of you guys in work and business, like, you just have things you have to get done. As a parent, you know, you just have things you have to get done. As a school teacher, tell me, you've got things you've got to get done. And there comes a point where life starts to move just fast enough that you know how things need to get done, but we kind of just stop depending on the Lord. We didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. We're not angry at God sometimes. But life moves so fast that if we don't stop to talk to God, it's just become another day. It can happen to a pastor. It can happen to you. We're no different. We both need the Lord. And Jesus looks at both of us and he says, you'll never receive the kingdom if you can't receive it like a child with sole dependence upon the Lord. And as you entered in here today, can you relate to David? As maybe there's some things going on in your life that have pushed you to the point where you go, I don't think I can count on myself anymore. I don't think I can do this on my own. I don't know that I have any hope except for God at this point, because I'm withering away from within. Look what David says now in verse 14 in Psalm 31. Verse 14 says, but I'm trusting you, O Lord, saying, you are my God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. Let your favor shine on your servant. In your unfailing love, rescue me. David, obviously, if you can pick up on this, may have made a couple enemies over his lifetime when he started killing tens of thousands of enemies. Some people decided they didn't like David very much, and they start to close in around him, and David gets to the point where he's like, God, my future's in your hands. He's not counting on himself, the guy who's led armies, won battles, taken out lions, bears, and giants. He said, God, what I need is you, and I'm going to say, my future is in your hands. Maybe you're a little bit like me. If I'm honest with you, sometimes that's hard for me to say. That's hard for me to say sometimes as a guy who wants to do my best, be successful, go and just absolutely accomplish things. I'm wired that way. That's hard for me to sit down and go, it doesn't matter how good I'm going to be at something. My future's in your hands, God. That's hard. Maybe you're like me. What is one of the biggest things in our society that we tell people? You can go accomplish anything you want to. Why are we lying to the children like that? Seriously. At 33 years of age, I can go and tell you, no, you cannot. You cannot. I know it's the American dream. You cannot go accomplish anything you want to. 6'2", slow as molasses, can't jump off the ground, white Phil, could not go cover LeBron James. I don't care how much you tell me, go chase your dreams, you can do anything you want. That dude is a physical specimen. The first moment I'm like, I'm guarding, and I won't even finish this sentence, LeBron James dunking all over me. And LeBron don't care if I go up and whisper to him, I can do whatever I want and put my mind to. He's going to dunk on me again. We got to stop telling people that. It's a lie. What we should tell people is you should absolutely go do the absolute best you can. That's honoring to God. I don't know how far you're getting, but if you will do your best and trust God with the rest, that is honoring to the Lord. That should be our mentality. Because what happens if you tell someone you can do anything you want, and then they figure out they can't cover LeBron James, they think they failed and they give up on life. Rather than accepting, I need to worship the Lord through honoring him and doing my best. It plagues churches. It plagues Christians. We start comparing ourselves, start looking at everybody else. You may be so trapped in going, I have failed. Who told you that? Who? If you genuinely gave your best, you just got to have to give it to the Lord. And that's hard, right? That's hard sometimes to say, God, my future's in your hands. I don't control it. The reason sometimes we get mad at God is sometimes things happen in our life that we don't want. We didn't sign up for this. We realize life's really not fully in our control. That's hard. But sometimes those things happen to remind us, hey, do we need to check our heart and mind to go back to being like a child? Do I get taken down to rock bottom sometimes because that's the only place some of us are willing to finally go, I have nothing else. God, I need you. God, I need you. My future really is in your hands. I've tried everything. And I can't seem to go anywhere. God, I need you. And some of you are just cringing right now at the idea of finally admitting, I do need God. And I want to encourage you, it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes a child, we don't like what our parents say. We don't always agree. Some of you guys haven't been a child in a while, and you're like, no, I was never like that. Don't lie to me like that. Not in church. Don't do that. Now, Hiawassee, I know you wouldn't do that. Some of these people, right, on the front row, some of y'all, yeah, let's go, front row people. Look what David says in verse 19 now. He says, how great is the goodness you've stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. You can see what David is going through. All these people are trying to come against him, and that may not be what we're facing, but it's what his was. We can relate to the emotions. And man, David says, all these people are coming around you, but the Lord will lavish goodness if I go to the Lord for protection, and I trust in him. Maybe today the thing that you really need to do is finally go, God, I will give you my best, but I cannot count on myself. I have to depend on you. And the reality is, I know sometimes this is something churches don't always admit, but I genuinely believe God is willing to allow things to happen in our life for us to get to the point to go back to being like a child and going, God, if you don't do it, it won't happen. God, if you don't do it, it won't happen. Because here's the thing, if Jesus, if what he teaches is true, and if you're new to Vertical, I believe it is, Jesus tells us you can't receive the best from God if we can't act like a child when it comes to faith. Just having a belief, whatever's really going on, my parents got it. Whatever's really going on, my Heavenly Father, he's got it. I don't understand how it all works. We don't really understand sometimes how our parents are doing all things, why they're doing it, but we either go, they're going to have my best interest at heart or not. Some of the people who struggle the most with this idea are people who didn't have parents who modeled that idea. As I work through counseling with people, some of the ones who struggle the most to have childlike faith are people who grew up not being able to count on their parents to have their best interest at heart. But Jesus is saying, if we can't get to that place of trusting God and just believing, even when it doesn't make sense, we don't understand everything that's going on, of God, I'm going to depend on you and not myself. I'm going to depend on you and not my wealth. I'm going to depend on you and not my talents. I'm going to depend on you and not just other people. We'll never receive the kingdom of heaven. And maybe you're here today thinking, like, is this Jesus thing really for me? And Jesus boils it down. He says, if you want to receive, you have to be willing to say, I depend on you, God, and not myself. I think a lot of us sometimes will struggle to understand God because a lot of us, whether we see it this way or not, we think we'll never understand God because we think of him as he exists for us. God, you exist to take care of my problems. God, you exist to meet my needs. God, you exist to help me. And in a way, some of those things are true. If we want to have a hope of grasping who God is, we have to accept that we were made for him. Like, if we want any hope of grasping who God really is, we have to accept that we exist for God, and God doesn't exist for us. Because we'll never begin to truly depend on God if we think he really exists for us. God, you exist to take care of my problems. You exist to take away my worries and all those things. And he does and he can, but we exist for him. Some of you guys know I love history. And if you're new to Vertical, you don't know this, but you just found it out. Love history. There's this guy named Louis Zamperini. Louis Zamperini was in World War II. And as he was in a plane that was flying over the ocean, it was shot down. And 8 of the 11 people on board passed away in the crash. And Lewis and two other people survived, and they're on a raft in the middle of the ocean. And you kind of go, I don't know if that was the good or bad thing, right? You're stuck in the middle of the ocean. And if you're wondering if it was a good or bad thing, let me finish the details. They have no food. They have no water. And then, y'all want to guess what creature shows up? Sharks, yes. I'm telling you what, like, I would have started praying. Lewis, the two other guys, fight off sharks. They catch birds. They catch fish. They're trying to survive. One of the other two guys passes away. So it's down to Lewis and one other guy. They're at sea for 47 days. 47 days. And they finally show up at an island. And you think, man, finally, hope has arrived. Except the island is occupied by the Japanese, their enemy. And Lewis, rescued off that raft, goes to the harshest prison camp the Japanese have. And he's tortured for the rest of the war. Remember the time where Lewis was in a raft and in the prison camps, he prays this simple prayer. He says, God, if you will get me home alive, I will seek you and I will serve you. The reality is, I think almost any of us would probably pray that prayer, right? And if we're honest, if you are being attacked by sharks, you're going to ask for some divine intervention at this point. And he prays that prayer, and you know what happens? He makes it. And he goes home. And then he becomes an alcoholic because of all the trauma he went through. He becomes so addicted to alcohol, his life is completely spiraling out of control. And someone invites him to this revival night. And Lewis goes for whatever reason. And when Lewis shows up at the revival, he remembers praying this prayer. God, if you'll get me home alive, I'll seek you and serve you. And that night, Lewis gives his life to the Lord and says, God, I'm going to depend on you and not myself. And Lewis ends up becoming an evangelist. And if you don't know an evangelist, that's okay. He basically goes around telling people and inviting them to follow Jesus and sharing his story. And Lewis goes as far to go back to Japan and find the people who ran the prison camps and forgives them in person. And some of his captors end up becoming Christians. And the reality is, depending on how you look at Lewis's situation, you could say, man, is God really someone I want to count on that lets me sit in a raft for 47 days? Man, is God really somebody I can count on if he's going to let me go to the harshest prison camp that my enemies have? Like, is God really somebody I want to count on? Or do you see, man, I can't believe God would allow me to be in that raft. I can't believe God would allow me to be rescued and taken to the prison camp. I can't believe God would be kind enough to rescue me from my addiction. I want to ask, who are you depending on? Who are you depending on? You may have come in today and you have been a good person for a long time. Jesus says, doesn't matter. You will not receive the kingdom of heaven unless you receive it like a child and have dependence on the Lord. You may have come in and you realize, I've been going to church a long time, but I don't really remember the last time I depended on the Lord. I kind of know the things I'm supposed to do. I can take care of myself. I'm here to tell you, whether you follow Jesus or not, it will be death by independence for us if we cannot depend on the Lord. It will be spiritual death by independence if we are not people who depend on the Lord. That goes for me. That goes for you. And I want to ask, who are you depending on today? And if the answer in your heart and your mind is you realize, I've been counting on anything, anyone else besides the Lord, the most amazing thing can happen is you can have a moment like Lewis did. Right there, right now, whether you're online, Hiawassee, here, you can say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I'm going to depend on you, God, and not myself. I'm going to receive the kingdom of heaven like a child and go, I don't understand everything that's happening. I don't even agree with everything that's happening. But God, I depend on you. And as we close out today, I want to offer you a chance to have someone pray with you. Because, man, I don't want to be a church where we leave you on your own. And church should be a place where we encourage one another, we love one another, we support one another. And I want you to have that experience here. So people in Hiawassee are going to be down, available to pray. We're going to have people on the side of the building here to pray. But we're going to close out, and I want you to genuinely ask, who do I depend on today? So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that we can come to you, even like Lewis did, who cried out and prayed, get me home safe, and then didn't even follow through, and you showed him grace. I pray that you'll show that same kind of grace to us today, Lord. People who are tempted to fix things on our own, we're tempted to trust in our own ways, to our trust in our talents, that we can figure it out on our own. God, please forgive us. I pray that we will be people who give our best. I pray that we are people who are not lazy, but I pray, Lord, that we will never replace you, dependence on you, with trust in ourselves. I pray that we'll be companion caliber with you, God, that we won't believe you exist for us, but we exist for you. I pray for hearts that are having a hard time because of what life has taught them, that they must be independent. They must do it on their own. They will get hurt if they don't. Lord, please, by your supernatural grace, reveal your love right now and show us that it's safe to come to you, Lord. It's good to depend on you. So, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this moment and lead us to be people who depend on the Lord above all else. In your name we pray. Amen.